Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Night Live. We are glad that you have joined us tonight. I'm so excited because we're going to get an update on Pastor Marlin. We're going to have him here with us tonight. How are you, Pastor Marlin?
Pastor Marlin is good. Thank you.
Well, good.
All is well. Yep.
Praise God for that. You know, the last time we had you on the show, you had some major miracles happening in your life, and I just wonder if you want to give us a little update on that.
Well, I just did, and still do. We are doing great. Everything is healed well and recovered strong, and it's just been a wild, crazy 6 months or so, I can tell you that. I don't care to go through that again, but we're just thankful for the reports of the Lord that we're able to always come out with and the miracles that we see come out of these things. So he's faithful God, I can tell you that. Believe me, firsthand experience.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of a scripture that says, he turns our ashes and takes our ashes and turns them to beauty. Mm-hmm. And I think about this situation, and do you have some areas that you think that God has turned what the enemy meant for bad, God has turned for good?
You know what? It's just amazing. The people, you know, people hear different stories about the accident and all, and most of them have actually been pretty accurate. And I was having lunch today with a man. That called a minister from another town. He called me and he wanted to know. And he wanted to, it's been June 15th since this accident happened. It's a while back. He said, man, I need an update on this thing. I was laughing. I said, yeah, well, that's kind of neat. It's been quite a while back. He said, yeah, but I need to know the whole story. You tell me what happened and tell me how you're doing. And I was telling him, and he's tearing up. He just said, I had to have that story today. I just needed it. I needed a victory report. I needed somebody that's experiencing some of the life and the power and the miracle power of God. I'm just hungry for that right now. And he'd been going through a pretty rough time. And I was able just to share with him the very thing you just mentioned, that we talked about the accident and all the things that happened miraculously that turned that from, a devastating, horrible, life-altering event, mm-hmm. to something that God is getting glory from to this day. So, you know, I know God didn't cause it, God didn't do it, but I tell you right now, in the midst of all of it, right in the middle of it all, we're able to glorify Him and give testimony that we've risen above the challenge and the test and what the enemy meant for our destruction and evil in our lives. God has turned this thing to good, and the report of the Lord is going throughout the land of how good God is and what a miracle working God we serve. So it's
amen. That's right.
You know, yeah, we did. God didn't cause it. God didn't do it. But I like what the verse said. Paul said in Thessalonians, not for everything, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, the thanksgiving in all things is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Not the thing you're going through. May or may not be the will of God. But I can tell you right now, the giving of thanks in that season you're in right now, that is the will of God for you. And it's great we're talking about this right now as Thanksgiving is upon us. So we'll have a lot to be thankful for. We had our big Thanksgiving church dinner last night at the church, and I just spent the whole evening reflecting and going back over the past several months and all the things we're grateful for, and just the things He's brought us through.
That's right.
Wow, it's just it's a great Thanksgiving season for us. So we're rejoicing in that He is good and faithful. Our hearts are rejoicing in doing the will of God and giving thanks in the midst of anything we're facing right now. Lord, we thank You that You are our healer. We thank You that You're our provider, our protector. You know, we thank You that you suffered a devastating loss. And now we thank You that You're our restorer, that You're healing broken hearts. You're our, you know, You're our mender of the broken heart. You're the restorer of things that have been devastated in our lives. And, you know, it's never over. God's work is always going on in us and working in us. And people think, well, you know, even death, well, that's the end. No, it's not the end. It's a new beginning for the loved one that passed away and the Lord, but it's a time to trust God and depend on His comfort, depend on the Holy Spirit, and see God at work even in that. So, you know, even in death, we can't lose. But I'm just grateful for life and the ability to move on and go on and rejoice in who Jesus is and able to share the testimony of the goodness of God.
That's right. Amen. You know, the scripture you talked about in Thessalonians about being thankful not for but in all things.
Big difference. Yeah, big difference.
And I think so many people misunderstand that, and they think that they're supposed to be thankful that things are happening to them. But it's not that you're thankful that those are happening. You're thankful for what God's doing in that, and that He loves you, and He's going to get you through it.
Absolutely. I mean, and that is, you know, the vast majority of religion, of religiosity or tradition says, well, God did that. God's in control of that. God did that to you for a purpose, for a reason. So thank Him for that. But that's not what Paul said at all. He said, there are things, you know, I mean, if everything in our lives came from God, He would never say, resist the devil. There's verses all throughout the New Covenant, New Testament, about your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith. You know, resist the devil. And there's very little demonic resistance in the body of Christ, because we've been hoodwinked into thinking everything that happened to us, God willed it, God ordained it, God controlled it. God did that to us for some weird divine purpose. And we know oh, my God. You know what? What a horrible thing to be, you know, believing that everything that happened to you, well, God did it, you know. And I was reminded of a buddy of mine who said back in his religious days, he said, I did a funeral for a teenage son of a man in my church. And this guy wasn't a spirit-filled guy at the time, this pastor. But he said, I just preached what I knew. And he said, you know, I got up and preached, well, the Lord took this young man at, you know, 13 years of age, for whatever purpose. God needed him in heaven more than we needed him in the earth. And he goes, I go through with all the seminary baloney that I've been fed with and taught. And he said, the daddy of this boy comes up to me at the end of that service, viewing the body in the casket. And the daddy said, the daddy says to me, you think God really did that to my boy? He said, well, now, you see, God is a mystery. No, let's just cut through the chase. Did God kill my boy? Did He take him from us? Well, you know, your terminology is harsh, but yes, He took him from. He said, you know what? And he said, the man used some severe expletives, then blankety blank, your God. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need your God. I don't need somebody that cruel. I don't need somebody that hard that would do that to anybody, to a family. You know, and he said, he walked away from me, and at that moment, he said, something went off in me. There was an explosion that went off in me. And I went home, and he said, for several weeks, I was just in literal heavy depression. over what he had said. And he said, God, you know, he said, God, if you really did that, you're not a good God. If a man would have done that, to his boy, he'd be in prison. That's not a good God. So he said, God, I'm praying for revelation. I need truth. And he said, boy, God began to bring him into the audience of good teaching and proper teaching and spiritual warfare and things of that nature. And he said, well, my life turned around and changed, and I realized God really was a good God, that there is an evil, awful, horrible devil. It's also out there in the world. We live in a fallen world, and things That's happen, right. You know, that God did not cause, God did not do, but he will be with us and minister to us even in the midst of those difficult times where we've experienced, you know, a blindside shot from our adversary. God is faithful. And in that test, there can come a testimony of how wonderful God is, even in the midst of tragedy and stuff. So that's pretty powerful for somebody to get the hold of in this Thanksgiving time. We are giving thanks in everything, because that giving of thanks in that thing is the will of God for you. Don't get out of the will of God. So what do you mean? Well, you know, thank him in spite of everything that's happened to you, in spite of the evil, in spite of the tragedy, in spite of the loss. Begin to thank him. Say, God, I thank you that you're turning this situation around. You're restoring my soul. You're helping me in my comfort. You're leading me and strengthening me, because I refuse to give up on God. That God, you are my strength. You're my guide. You're my father, for crying out loud. You're my heavenly father, and you treat me as such. And that's the approach we have to have. And that's the road we chose, and it's worked for many years in that belief system. And you know, good God, bad devil. We just live that. That's where we live.
That's exactly right.
Right?
That's right. And, you know, we need to be encouraged to hear your story about how God has moved in such big, huge, miraculous ways, that if he will do it for you, he'll do it for anybody. Because his word says that he has no respecter of persons.
Absolutely. Wow. We've been able to share that and say, look, I promise you this. I mean, every single thing that happened through that accident is so miraculous, is so governed by the hand of God, and that he, where the enemy came in to cause the wreck and cause the destruction and cause death in my life and the lives of those kids in that van, man, this thing has turned on him big time. You know, it's like had the devil known what he was doing, he would not have destroyed the Lord of glory. That's what the Bible says. Had he really known what was happening, what was about to be launched upon the human race in the redemptive work of Christ, he would have never taken his life. He don't know everything. Clearly, the enemy doesn't know everything. And he said, had he known fully what was happening in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he wouldn't have instigated that crowd to take his life. He didn't know. But man, what he didn't know came back on him.
That's right.
The enemy, and his kingdom has suffered a long time because of the redemptive work that he basically perpetrated in trying to destroy Jesus. So what he meant for mankind's destruction, God turned that thing around to mankind's redemption. So thank God. Praise the Lord.
Mm. And that's just what John 10:10 says.
Exactly.
The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come that we may have life and have it to the full until it overflows.
Absolutely the truth. People have to get a hold of that, step into that, live that, believe it, and be bold enough. Hey, look, I don't have the answers to every crisis in life. I don't have the answers to every calamity, but I do know this, it wasn't God. I don't know all the answers after the whys. We may never know the answers to all the whys, but one thing we do know, God's a good God. Right? And we will not let the enemy, you know, arise in ascendancy over our life because of bad things that are happening to good people in life. So we'll just continue to trust God. All I say in this whole deal is just trust God. Just trust God. Just keep trusting God. Yeah, just trust Him. Lord, I'm believing you are turning this thing around. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrows into joy. You know, my weeping, you know, into laughter. You've done that. And boy, we've experienced it firsthand. It's been a beautiful thing to have in manifestation in our lives and through this community. Everywhere I go, that's been months now. And everywhere I go, people are questioning me, how you doing? I say, well, here I am. You know, hey, it's a miracle that I'm even standing here. And the healing that's taking place in my body and the things that God's done, powerful. Restoration of everything. And thank God, boy. Ask the kids in the van. They'll tell you who Jesus is.
Oh, I bet it's impacted their life as well.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
You know, when you were saying that people, you know, coming and asking you how you were doing, and this phrase from a song came up, and I can't even remember how the tune goes, so I won't sing it, but it's where it says, I'm alive, and He's living in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people, you know, when they come and they ask you, how are you doing? Hey, I am alive, and God is living in me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. One of my good ones is from 38 that said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So a lot of times people say, look at me, oh, brother, how you doing? I say, hey, I'm doing good. Just like Jesus. And I don't get into all my religious stuff in their face. But when I say that, what I mean is I'm just like Jesus. I'm going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God's with me, just like it was with Jesus. So, yeah. So I got a lot. Most of our church people, people ask them, how you doing? I'm doing good. You know, and they know what they mean. And sometimes they'll say, going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. You're bringing all to redemption. It's pretty good. It's a fun thing we do with the people of the church. It's been real fun. And just declaring, I'm doing good.
That's right. So, you know, when I think about people, you, for instance, going through this accident and having something, you know, real happen to you that you've had to walk through, and I think about, you know, other people that go through these real things. And so I'm coming out with this question is, do you think that something happens spiritually and physically when we choose to thank God in the circumstance? Do you think something happens there? Do you think something is taking place in that?
No question about it. You know what? And you know where? Here's a lot of things I've experienced in this thing too. Thankfulness and our worship and our praising God in the midst of different things and all. How part of our, it's not something that we turn on and off. You know, our worshipful heart, our Thanksgiving experience, it's not something that we just, well, man, I need to praise God right now. And maybe if I praise God right now, it'll get me out of trouble. Well, that's not it at all. You know, I thought about Paul and Silas in prison when they had been beaten and placed in the stocks for preaching the gospel. I don't think they looked at each other and went, you know what, Silas, I'll tell you what we need to do. Maybe if we'll start singing and praying and singing praises, God might hear us and get us out of prison. We have no indication that that's what they did. That what they did would have gotten them out of that situation or not. We have no idea that he would have. They did it for the purpose of getting out. I don't think so. I think they began to worship and pray and worship and love on him just because that was who they were. That was just their lifestyle. That was their, you know, that was just who they were. In Christ, we're thankful people. And you know what? The enemy come against us and tried to kill us, but we're just going to praise God. We're just going to love on the Lord. And maybe he'll move. They didn't think that way. They just did it because the relationship they had with their Father, the relationship they had with the Holy Spirit. Man, I just saw that so clear through this deal that, you know, people use that and say, well, crud. Well, I guess we just weren't worshiping enough. What we need to do is praise God. And maybe through our worship, he'll get us out of this jam. Well, maybe that's so. But you know what? What have you been doing? I mean, where's that been? What's your relationship been like? Where's your intimacy anyway? And I know that our intimacy with the Lord and our walking out daily, this lifestyle of thanksgiving, this lifestyle of knowing who God is, being conscious of his presence. So, you know, God, where were you? Oh, I know right. Well, I know exactly where he was. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll come and help us. No, he's already there. We don't have a God left me mentality that we have to begin to worship to get God to come and help us. He's never left us, not forsaking us. He is a constant companion. He's a constant friend. And when you get to, you know, you're really growing in the Lord when you are Holy Spirit conscious, you know, all the time, daily. I mean, all the time, you know, just, it's not something that we have to turn on or something that, oh man, you know, I mean, people that are really good church people, well, they don't think about, well, I don't know. What do you think? Going to go this week or not? Think we're going to go to church? They just go unconsciously. It just, not something they think about. It's not something they do. Why? Well, because they want to go fellowship in the presence of God with other believers. We don't go to church meet with God, you know, because that's, when you go to church, or the, you know, we pass the church building, you know, a family will pass a church building, the kids in the back, and I say, Mama, what's that building out there? Oh, honey, that's God's house. God's house. Yeah, that's where God lives. Well, that's sad, isn't it? That's not right. He doesn't live in buildings. Yeah.
Never thought about that.
And you can tell the way people treat the building, and because I always say the most sanctified place in human existence is a church foyer where we become God conscious. We may fought like dogs on the way to church. You know, husband screaming at the wife, she's screaming back, she's slapping the kids in the back seat. They're going crazy. But they pull in the church parking lot, and it's all right. We're going in here, and y'all better put on your Jesus face right now. I'm telling you, you're not going to embarrass his family. Well, we hit that foyer. As soon as church is over, we're going to pick this up right where we left off. You're going to go in here, and we're going to love on Jesus with these people. And they'll walk in. Oh, praise God. How y'all doing today? Lord bless you. You know, and because we think, we're in the presence of God. Now we're in his glory. Now we're here with him and these other people visiting him today. This ain't a place, you know, the church is not a place of God's presence where we have a visitation. Our life as a believer nowadays is a place of habitation. God doesn't visit us and we don't visit God. That's old covenant theology, man. Now's the time when it's eternal. It's he is living in me permanently. So, you know, he knew what was going on in the car before I got to church. You know, he knew what was happening. He was there in the midst of all the arguing and the fighting and the bitterness and the, you know, the words that were spoken that weren't too kind. He's in the midst of all of that. Because he's never leaving us. So, and I remember hearing Dad Hagin say that many years ago. He said the greatest revelation that will ever come to the church is being God inside minded. God inside minded. Not he's with me. You know, if he's just with you, then he could not be with you. And people pray to this day. How many times you hear the closing prayer of a church? Lord, just be with us as we go today. Go with us as we leave this place today. Well, where's he been? He's never left. See, that's religious mentality. He's not. He didn't leave you. So now, be with us, Lord. Well, where do you think he's going to be? He's already said he's not leaving. So we've got to change our thinking and start being, he has not forsaken me. He has never left me through my ugliness and through all my beautiful experiences. He's there regardless. So, and I promise you, with that mentality, your ugly times get less and less. And your beautiful times, your times of kindness, your times of forgiveness, your times of peace get a lot stronger when you know God is present right here in the living room and in the car as much as he is when I'm sitting there on Sunday morning in church.
That's right.
You know, that's powerful consciousness and mentality, like righteous consciousness. You know, Paul said we should never have the consciousness of sin. Why? Because our consciousness is now wrapped up in the finished work of Christ. We are finished work people that we think I'm forgiven all the time. I'm not forgiven just when I ask now. I'm not ever walking in a state of forgiveness, of unforgiveness, because I know that the blood of Jesus has forgiven all of my sin. So it's not that I'm looking back saying, well, you know, I messed up and that sin probably separated me from God. God wants nothing to do with me because of sin. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you how sorry you are and that God's left you and he's waiting for you to come crawling back so he can forgive you. He never does that. We have a Holy Spirit who works on us through positive reinforcement, where he says, you know, when you're a believer and mess up, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and says, hey, you know what? You know, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. That's what you just said, what you just did. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. You're a believer. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. I mean, the condemnation, the condemning, the beating you up, making you regret, walk in remorse and shame for days at a time. You can't shake it off hardly, sometimes to the point of such frustration that you quit. You know, you'll run from God. You'll get away from God because you allowed the enemy. Where someone told you that was the Holy Spirit, he'll get on your case. He'll slap you around. He'll straighten your life out, even if he has to harm you to do it. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit will speak positive reinforcement to your life and say, you are a child of God. No, that's not you. You need to walk in your identity. That, you know, that's not you. I remember one time in high school, I was playing a baseball game, and I was on second base, and I was about to steal third base. And I wasn't the fastest afoot, but I thought I'd give it a shot. I thought this guy catcher isn't very good anyway, and I'll steal this bag. And so I just took off to steal the base, and the catcher catches the ball and throws it down to third base. That guy is waiting on me. I mean, he's drinking a Coke while he's there waiting on me to get to third base. I was that far away, and I went, bam, bam, just that quick, and I went, oh, I'm toast. I'm dead to rights right here. I don't know what to do. So I kept running, and when I got up to him, I just jumped in the air, and I kicked at him as hard as I could, just kicked my legs up in the air, wanting to kick him and kick the ball out of his hand or whatever. But, of course, he tagged me out. Lord, I was out by 5 or 6 feet. It was horrible. But the kid got hurt, and I cut him with the spikes on my baseball cleats, and he was there on the ground. Well, when that happened in baseball, anybody that knows baseball, that ain't cool. That ain't popular. His teammates came to his aid, and man, they came after me. Just, I mean, they're going to work me over for hurting their friend.
I was going to say, I don't think that's a good move.
Yeah, it wasn't really good thinking at the time, but through that whole deal, they got the thing settled down and got the guys away from trying to beat me up, and I'm out. I'm walking to the dugout, and I hear a voice that I recognize very clearly that said, hey, boy, not who we are, and that is not what we do. Well, that wasn't my coach. That was my dad. He was standing there at the end of the dugout with some of his buddies, and he saw what had happened. I'm telling you something. You know, he could have said, you know what, don't even come home. I don't want you around me anymore. Just forget it. You worthless thing. You've embarrassed the family. You're a disgrace to our family and to the sport of baseball. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. What a disgrace. But you know what, he didn't. He wasn't happy. It was a stern voice, but he said, hey, that is not who we are. That is not what we do. And he could have taken a bat and hit me with it and probably not hurt as bad. Man, my heart went into my shoes, and I went, man, you know what? That was a reflection on our family. That was a reflection on him. Oh, did you see what your son did? As the accusers begin to come around. But his advice to me was, you forgot who you were. For just a moment, you forgot. That's not, you know better. That's not the way you were trained. That's not how you were raised. And that's just the voice of the Holy Spirit when we mess up. Hey, that's not who we are. And that's not what we do. right? We don't do that. So you know what? Repentance. Now you change your mind. You change the way you thought about that situation right there. That'll change your action every time. Not being shamed. You can't ever shame. Hey, if shaming people into good behavior worked, then the church would be perfect because we've all been shamed, my God, to the nth degree. If preaching against sin worked for us, we've had enough preaching against sin that nobody would ever sin again in the church as long as we live because we've had that pounded on top of us, condemned us into good behavior, shamed us into proper behavior. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit knows what works in us, and that is reminding us who we are, our identity in Christ, who our Father is, and then we just go, you know what, that's exactly right. You know what, I'm not doing that. I know better than that. I just thank you, Father, that I am your child. You know, I'm sorry for what I did right there. There is a repentant spirit in a person that just goes, you know what, I know better. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change the way I think about certain situations and how I act. The way I think is the way I act. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I'm thinking proper relationship with my Father, it's going to affect the way I act. It's going to affect what I do. Much
yes.
more than just saying, you sorry, no, get away from me. I'll wash my hands of you. You're no good. God doesn't do that. Well, even religion tells us that he does, but he doesn't. It's completely different when we're standing as a child of God in a place of failure than it is, you know. But the good old accuser, here he comes. Well, God didn't love you anymore. Man, look what you did.
What kind of Christian are you?
That's exactly right.
You're supposed to be Christian. Christians don't do those things.
If you was really a Christian, you would have never done that. Well, that didn't come from God. That came from the adversary. Wow.
That's right.
I mean, that's something we've really got to work on as the church and maintaining proper identification, proper identity, and walking that out, working out our salvation, the salvation within our spirit, all the life of God that's in us. He said, you work that out from the inside out. Renew your mind to the things of identification, to the things of the spirit, to who you are in Christ Jesus. And he said, I'll tell you right now, it's going to change you in every facet of your life and affect you and your relationships, your family, your business, every part of you. If we all thought that way, it would be a whole different thing, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and I think about, like you said, transforming and renewing your mind as mm-hmm. you walk through that and mm-hmm. you are being thankful in the situation, not for it, but in it. And
right.
you are focusing on the things of God rather than the things that you're going through. That's
mm-hmm.
where it changes. You change that. When I say focus, that's actually what you're doing is you're changing your focus. You're looking at what God can do, not what's going on right now.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the ministry of the covenant of grace, the ministry of the Apostle Paul's revelation was, now that you've been made a new man, now here's your next step. You got a mind you got to start working on. You've been thinking wrong. You know, thinking wrong gets wrong. You know, you got to now start the renewal process of your mind. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We got to find out what has become new, because we know it's sure not our body. Our body's not new when we give our life to Christ. We got the same body we had, the same shape, the same size. I'd say it this way. I say, if we were skinny before we got saved, we're still skinny after. See, I could say the other and really offend a lot of people. I choose the love side, to love and walk in kindness.
Yeah.
Some say, if
yeah.
you're fat before you're saved, you're still not me. I'm walking in kindness. So people always smile.
Yeah.
I'm staying on the good side of things right here, you know. And if you were, you know, not very good looking before you got saved, you're still not. Your body doesn't change. If you were tall, you're still tall. If you're short, you're still short. So that didn't change. What about our mind? Well, it doesn't take you but a few hours to realize your mind didn't change. You still think some of the same things you thought before? You still have some of the same thought processes? What did change? Well, you got to know that it's the spirit of man that changed. What became new was your spirit. What was recreated was a part of you that you have never seen, the part that resides inside your body, the part called your spirit that got reborn. That's the part that changed. That's the part that was made new. So the new thing in us, Paul said, your mind has to be renewed. Find out, learn what happened inside, and let your mind know about it. Let your mind find out what you've become. You've been filled with all the fullness of God dwells in you. Love, joy, peace, kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit dwells inside of you. Now you're going to have to talk to your mind and convince your mind what you have become, and it will start having an effect on the way you act it out physically and flesh out the Word of God. You know, flesh it out. Start walking it out where others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what the approach you have to make and have to take. And that's the power of the new creation, of the new birth. Yeah, I'm saved. See, there's a lot of people saved that you don't think they are. I mean, you look at them and listen to them, watch them, you go, man, is he saved? Well, you know what? He very well had a great experience with the Lord. But there's some developing. There's some renewing that Paul said has to be done. Renew your mind. I'm begging you, Paul said. He didn't do that very often. But I beseech you in the King James, but I beg you that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. And I love this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. There's a process, a progressional change that you're going through, and it's happening mentally. It's happening in your mind. Your spirit's as saved as it'll ever be. It'll never be more saved than the moment you made Jesus Lord of your life, but not your soul. See, we've passed on the mistaken theology of, well, I thank God for the day he saved my soul. I got news for you. Your soul ain't saved. Your soul is progressional. It's being saved. Your spirit was saved, but your soul is being saved. One day your body will be saved. All of that is progression. Your soul has to go through a transformational thing. That word transformed, be transformed, is the word metamorphosis process, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And a whole bunch of areas of my life that even after I came to the Lord and wanted to do right, I was struggling in. But as I stayed in this thing, started learning more about Jesus, started learning the Word, what belonged to me in Christ, you know, those things that were ugly, nasty cocoons, you know, caterpillars and cocoons started breaking out into new life. And one day, those areas that were gross, you know, and dark and ugly, spreading wings like a butterfly, man, and things became beautiful that were once ugly, but it didn't happen, bing, just automatically. So yeah, if you saved, you wouldn't do that. Saved people, one guy told me, to saved people don't do that. I said, oh yeah, they do. He looked at me so funny. Saved people don't talk like that. Oh yeah, some do. He's like, what? They're not saved. I said, oh, absolutely they are. I guarantee you they are. Now they're growing. You know, they've got some work to do in their soul, in their mind. And you'll see them a week later, and they'll probably be totally different. Say people don't go there. Yeah, sometimes they do. They just do. Right? Thank God. That's true of all of us. That, you know, not condoning it, but neither condemning it. Because Jesus, you know, with that woman with caught in the act of adultery, he said, look, I mean, he shocked the religious world, when he said, well, sweetheart, I'm not condemning you. They're going like, what? You got to be kidding. The law of Moses said she should be stoned.
She broke the law.
Big time. I love it so much when he said, Moses says this woman should be stoned. And they looked at him and said, what do you say? Oh, that is so good. Waiting for an answer. Is that great? And he's looking at him going, well, I'm going to tell you what I think, but you ain't going to like it.
That's like I said, that's what I've said to a lot of people. That guy never got anything. He's not really saved. He's not holy. He's not sinlessly perfect. And yeah, no kidding. Yeah. You know, give the guy some elbow room. Let him grow a little bit. It's just not the same thing, you know. This forgiven woman, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a gift that will help you in your growth process. It's a gift of no condemnation. And he said, now, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The gift of no condemnation is not something that empowers you to sin. It's something that breaks its captivity and bondage over you. I'm not being condemned. I'm not being beaten up. I'm not being ostracized. I'm not being kicked out. I'm not losing my relationship with God because I do stupid stuff and make bad choices. And again, look, that's not condoning sin at all. It's, you know, you make light of sin. I said, no, sir, you make light of redemption. You make light of sin. No, you make light of his blood. You got to know how powerful that is. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. He'll never leave you nor forsake me. You got to know his eternal redemption that's affected you in your spirit. When you do that, I'm telling you right now, you start experiencing victories in your life that you never, never deemed possible. Because you thought, well, your first mistake, and you realize right then, here comes the enemy. That, you know, that, well, you didn't get anything. You're not changed. You're not loved by the Lord. He used to love you, but not now. Not the way you're acting. God, people tell people that. At lunch, at lunch today, we were talking about this very thing, and the pastor said to me, he said, man, I know people that have told people, you know, because of your sin, God doesn't love you anymore. I said, you really know? He's, oh, personally, people that have preached that, God doesn't love you because of your sin. Holy cow. No wonder, you know, hopefully that guy's preaching to about three people. And life gets turned around. But good night, people, come on. He loved you. Before your sin, during your sin, and after your sin. Nothing you could do to make God love you more. Nothing you could do to make God love you less. He is the God of love. He doesn't have it. He is love. There's a big difference right there. Man.
Well, you know, this is actually, as we started, you know, as we've been talking through all the process of everything we've been talking about tonight, you know, that was the one thing is, what is the common thing in everything that we're talking about, and that is that God loves us. That is why we experience the things that we do. That is why we thank him. That is why we're able to be transformed, because God loves us. It's that love of God. And I love what you said, that God is love. He doesn't have love in him, but he is love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly the truth. You know, The my church laughs so much. I said, I'm going to give y'all this morning my favorite scripture, and they all start laughing. Because I give them a different favorite scripture every week. And they'll, this is the greatest scripture I have. And they'll laugh because they know what's coming. But honestly, I mean it this time. Now, this scripture is my favorite scripture and changed my life. It said in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God. Now, that right there will blow religion out the door, because everything is, you got to love God. Don't you love God? If you love God, you'd pray more, give more, love more, knock on more doors. You know, all these religious things you're supposed to do. But if you love God, you'd be at church. Come on, man. If you love God, you'd give him the offering. Now, come on, man. If you love God, you'd do this and you'd do that. He said, herein is love. Not that we love God. And we want people to love God, of course. That's what we want. But he said, this here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. This is love, that God loved us. And I like the last part, and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. The word propitiation is a payment to avoid wrath. A payment to avoid wrath. Sent his son to be a payment. We could avoid the wrath of God. The payment to Jesus, that Jesus paid for our sin. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Oh,
that he loved us that much.
Oh, that much. If he loved you know, he loves us so much. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, how amazing is the love of God for us? He proved that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved. And that word so there cannot be exaggerated enough. God so loved the world. God so loved me that he gave. Wow.
That's right. So I want you to know that God loves you. All those that you are listening tonight, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you did 5 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God loves you, and he just wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to set that all aside and not look at that, but look at him and his goodness and his love and what he gave you through Jesus. And so just know that you are loved by God.
God, so strong. Man, that is so, so anointed right now. That's just such a burden-removing, you know, yoke-destroying word over the lives of people right there. How could God love me because of what I've done? Well, he loved you. He made the decision to love you before you'd ever done anything. He made the decision to love us before we ever got here. Why?
That's
because
right.
He knew that when we got here through our actions, we would try to mentally challenge that. He said, "You're too late. I chose to love you, you know, before you ever showed up. So you have nothing to do with me loving you. Your bad habits and your bad actions does not determine my love for you. I love you irregardless. I love you if you're doing good. I love you if you're doing bad. I just love you." And know that love is so foundational and it's so secure that's the love we stand on. I may not know a lot of... See, we need to have this mentality. A lot of things I may not know, but I did know this one thing, that God loves me.
That's right.
God does love me. He just loves me.
God loves you, and your mama loves you.
God and your mama. I'm telling
God
you
God and
right
your
now,
mama.
They love you.
Because you know mama is talking to God about you, so you better watch out.
Absolutely. My mama, 94 years old, going strong. So I know.
Yes, that's
doing
right.
Good in it. Yeah, and she's 94,
you know,
but you better not mess with me.
I bet that's right. Well, not only that, they better not mess with you because you're a child of the Most High God.
That's exactly right. Now think about
that.
Got an
army around you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. And then, you know, a story that just keeps coming up, and I feel like I need to share it, but it goes back to, we were talking about renewing our mind and the way that we think. And mm-hmm. I had experienced some things in my life that just started really, it just an onset of real bad claustrophobia, fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it
right.
happened when my kids were already out of high school or very, you know, about to graduate. And so I'm in an elevator, and then all of a sudden, it's just, bam, the enemy. And so what happened was is he used that for years. And it was such a fear that in my mind that I thought I was going to die if I got in any type of situation. And it was resulted back to some trauma that I had experienced in my life.
Right.
And it's something that God needed to speak into and to heal me from. But the enemy was just really using that fear of just being, I mean, one time I went to a really crowded restaurant and I had to leave because I just couldn't, you know, walking
wow.
out of a conference room or, you know, like you go to a big conference and you're walking out or say a big concert and, you know, it's just shoulder to shoulder and you're trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that because it was like, what am I going to do? What if something happens? I'm not going to get out. I'm going to die. You know, it was just a irrational fear that had happened mm-hmm. that the enemy was able to use something that happened to me to affect the way I was thinking. And so I started really just praying and confessing the word. And so what I did was is I looked up a bunch of fear scriptures and I put them mm-hmm. on my phone. And I usually would avoid the elevator, but then there's sometimes you just can't avoid the elevator. There's not stairs. You're not going to be able to go 15 flights, you know.
Right.
And so it really is, when you think, and I look back, it almost makes me laugh because it's like, is this really real? But it was, I mean, it was real to me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I would I would read those scriptures, and I would just try to concentrate on something else while I was on that elevator, just so I could get, and just, it was like my heart was just about to beat out of my chest. So I just to kind of give you an idea of what I was going through when these things would happen. And one day I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, "Well, Natalie, don't you think if you got trapped, I would come and someone would come and get you out?" And I thought, well, yeah, okay, I think I'm okay. And I know it sounds dumb, but I think that's an example of how we can get caught up in a way of thinking that steals from us, that, you know, just the enemy just tries to use and just cause you to be just stuck.
Yep, absolutely. Boy, that's good.
And then just that one, yeah, and that one word from God, you know, just turn that around. And
that's
so,
exactly right.
That's right. And so we have to, and this is something one of our known teachers say, is you need to think about what you're thinking about. Because our mind is not just a playground where we just allow our mind to think.
Right.
I mean, thoughts are going to come, but are you going to allow that thought? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to let it come in? Or are you going to say, no, that's not true, because what the Word says is this.
Bingo. Bingo. Stop it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah. I got some young little bitty grandkids, and my son was saying this week, how his vocabulary is really growing and getting larger and larger. And I got to thinking this week about the believer's vocabulary, how it expands. How, you know, we've had an old covenant vocabulary with words like judgment, wrath, and condemnation, fear and shame and uncertainty. And, you know, unrighteous and darkness and death and sickness and poverty and all these things that even in the realm of religion, sometimes these words carry over and they use them in this kingdom. These are not kingdom words. Those are old covenant, old kingdom words. And we got a new vocabulary. The believer's vocabulary has got to change and expand that I'm, you know, freedom now. Has become my theme, liberty and freedom and righteousness, these new words, saved, victory, overcomer, his beloved, I'm accepted, forgiven, righteous, I'm a conqueror to him that loved me, prosperous, I have hope, I'm delivered. These are new vocabulary words that are very rarely spoken in the body of Christ.
That's right, and that is who you are.
Hanging on to the old. It's just a matter of complete, total, identification,
Absolutely. That's right. So, Pastor Marlon, would you be willing to pray for our listeners tonight? You know, we've talked about several things tonight that really probably has touched or struck a nerve with somebody, and they probably really just need some prayer tonight. And would you be willing to pray for all of those that are listening?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen to me. You that I'm praying for right now, you know, just stop. Just stop. Come to yourself for just a minute. And just think, could it be possible that God really loved me? Just exactly like I am. I don't get it. I don't know how. Well, that ought to help you. Because he does. Herein is love. Not that you love God, but that he loves you. So, Father, I thank you tonight. I pray for those that are listening in on this broadcast right now. Some of them can't even believe they're listening to this. They just happened upon it, kind of supernaturally. Just fell
That's
into
right.
it almost by accident. But it's not an accident. God appointed and chose this moment for you to come to a realization right now of how much God loves you. And you're not perfect. You never will be perfect. You won't be sinlessly perfect. But you can have a perfect relationship with your Heavenly Father by loving him, by understanding how much he loves you. And then, like John said, we love you. We love him because he loved us first. Get that down on the inside of you and let that work on you, that you're forgiven. You can be cleansed. You've been made whole by the beautiful blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross. So today I thank you that people come into the glorious light of the good news of Jesus Christ and turn their lives over, give their heart to Jesus. Just say, Lord, I want the peace of God. I want peace in my life. I want confidence in my life that I haven't had up until this time. Father, I praise you for that, and that they'll call this station. They'll call the people that they need to call and get a hold of to let them
yes.
know that I've made a decision to follow Jesus and to turn my life over to him, not churchianity, not religiosity, not traditionalism, but Christianity. That is, Jesus loved me, and he came after me. That's what I'm after. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, Pastor, tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. Tell us a little bit about what you guys got going at your church and a little bit about that.
Well, it's just on. I tell you right now, we're having pretty good moves of the Spirit of God. You know, it's just a time and a season where we're acknowledging the Spirit of God being poured out on us. I'm telling people this, I thank you, Father God, you poured your Spirit out upon me on all flesh, and I am the flesh that you poured it out on. I said, just get in line and say, I receive everything God has for me. And we're seeing new people continually. We had a big Thanksgiving dinner last night for the whole church, and I can't even tell you how many people I didn't even hardly recognize. I didn't hardly know.
Well, they praise just, God for that.
How'd y'all get here? We just came. I went, oh, okay. Well, welcome. Let's eat. I'm going to preach. No, I don't preach to you. I didn't know how to preach at all for 2 minutes, believe it or not. But just loved on people, and just people are hungry. They're coming to the love of God where it is, wherever it's at.
It
that's what they're coming to. So,
and we're
seeing
it
you
here.
When you're loving, right?
We're seeing it here. So tell us about your church. What's the name of your church and where are you guys located?
Victory Family Church in Perryton, Texas, located right on the corner of 24th and Main Street. Victoryperryton.com is our website, we've been here for celebrating our 40th anniversary of being here at Victory Family Church. And
wow,
I know
awesome.
That shocked some of y'all. You think I must have started it when I was 10, but anyway, no, we've been here a while, and so we're just experiencing as great a move of God right now than any other time in the history of our church. So it's fun to be a part of it. Thank you so much for asking.
Yes. Okay. And so any of our listeners, if you don't have a church home and you're in this area, we just want to welcome you. We want to, this is your official church invitation to come on out to Victory Life Church in Perryton, Texas. They'd love to have you and they'd love to love on you.
Absolutely. All of our services are on Facebook Live, 10:30 on Sunday morning and 6:30 on, and, that's all right. 10:30 on Sunday mornings and 6:00 on Wednesday nights. We do Facebook Lives and just speaking to your life. And a lot of people through the region, that's exploding. And we're getting new audience all the time. And it's just something to give God glory for. It's wonderful.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being on. It's always such a joy to have you on. I mean, we're not going to call you a guest anymore. You're just a good old man of God that can share.
I'm just one of us.
Just one of us. Just one of us.
That's right.
I love your humor. I think laughter does the heart good.
Oh,
and
it does.
Yeah.
It does.
And so as we close out on a Sunday night here, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we just want to thank you guys for tuning in, and we hope that you have a good Thanksgiving and your preparations this week. Everything will just fall into place, and that family will get along in Jesus' name. And then,
oh, thank you, Jesus. I heard that.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to love on you. We're going to love you. That's where you think. That's right there. You be thankful in the situation.
That's right.
So we just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving coming up here on Thursday, and just remind you that God loves you,
yep.
And don't forget that no matter what, God does love you. And we just hope that you guys have a good night, and thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Good night, everybody.
God is on the-